From Vermont Public, this is The Frequency. I'm Josh Crane.
And I'm Anna Van Dyne. It's Friday, April 21st. Here are today's headlines.
When an employer settles a discrimination claim filed by a worker, the agreement often requires the employee to forfeit their right to work for the company again. Critics of the practice say it unfairly punishes workers for asserting their rights under Vermont law. And Susanna Davis, director of racial equity for the state, is urging lawmakers to pass legislation that would prohibit no rehire clauses in discrimination settlements.
What we're effectively saying is we could be chopping off your career at the knees if you're just starting out, and that could have devastating long-range impacts.
The legislation has already passed the Senate and is now under review by the House. The bill would also allow Vermont workers to sue their employers for race-based wage discrimination.
Also in the legislature, a child care bill moving through the House of Representatives would require public schools to provide full-day pre-kindergarten for every four-year-old in Vermont. Waterbury Representative Teresa Wood says many kids don't have access to pre-K because their school districts don't offer it. She says the House's version of the child care bill would improve geographic equity.
In this bill, we are very specific to say that school districts are responsible for assuring that the capacity exists for pre-K in their school district.
Apart from the pre-K provision, the broader child care bill would also increase child care subsidies and boost wages for child care workers.
This Saturday in Randolph, there will be a gathering dedicated to queer health care for both community members and providers. It's been several years since Vermont has hosted an event like this, says Kel Arbor. They're the health and wellness director at the Pride Center of Vermont, one of the organizers of the event.
We've got everything from health providers doing teachbacks to community members doing teachbacks on creating safer spaces, making art against violence, having some skill up around queer sex ed. What does surgery look like for trans femme folks?
There will also be vendors for adult toys, books, and resources for harm reduction and STD testing.
And Burlington saw a slight increase in air pollution levels between 2019 and 2021, according to a new report from the American Lung Association. The report found more spikes in short-term particle pollution in the Queen City. That means a rise in days with unhealthy air quality due to dust, soot, smoke, and other types of pollution. The bump in unhealthy days contributed to Chittenden County's grade falling from an A to a B in this year's State of the Air report. Additionally, Burlington's year-round particle pollution saw a small jump in this year's report, but the report didn't register a notable change in ozone pollution, which is often called smog.
Coming up, how climate change is contributing to an increase in home runs. More after this.
Baseball season has just gotten underway, and if you're a fan of America's pastime, you might be interested to know that research out of Dartmouth College has apparently revealed a link between an increase in Major League Baseball home runs and climate change. To learn more, our colleague and devoted Red Sox fan, Mitch Wortlieb, spoke with Chris Callahan. He's a climate science graduate student at Dartmouth and one of the authors of this new study.
So this report, this is kind of fascinating, especially for baseball fans, but also for anybody who's concerned about climate change. In the Bulletin of the American Meteorological Society, with research from this Dartmouth study, findings are that more than 500 home runs since 2010 can be attributed to higher temperatures due to climate change. How in the world did you conduct the research to find out those numbers?
Well, we know the basic physical process here is that when the air is warmer, it's less dense, which means there's less air resistance for a ball to fly through. And so we know that balls hit in warmer air will carry farther. So that basic physical relationship was understood. What we did was take data on over 100,000 baseball games, over 200,000 individual batted balls, and correlate increases in temperature with increases in home runs during games, controlling for the other factors that might affect home runs and temperature, like the dimensions and the climate of the ballpark, trends in things like PED use or changes in the construction of the ball. And we were able to show that abnormally warm temperatures due to climate change have already driven an increase in home runs.
It's that last thing that you said, Chris, abnormal temperatures due to climate change. And I know that there are going to be people who are going to be skeptical. How do you know that this research done again since 2010 shows that those warmer temperatures are, in fact, due to climate change?
It's a good question. We use something that we called climate models, which are computer simulations of the climate, which allow us to distinguish human-caused climate change from natural variations in temperature and the climate. And so we were able to use those climate model experiments to show what the world would have looked like had temperatures not risen. And we can show that there would have been about 500 fewer home runs over the last 10 years if we had not had human-caused climate change. I do want to emphasize that that's only about 1% of all home runs in Major League Baseball. And so climate change is certainly not the only factor affecting home runs, but it certainly is one factor.
What prompted you to do this research in the first place? Because I understand that as a baseball fan yourself, you had some impetus watching baseball games to say, hey, I want to take a look into this.
Yeah, you know, I think about baseball a lot as a baseball fan, as a Cubs fan. I also think about climate change for my day job. And so eventually those two things were going to collide. And I had known about this sort of basic physical mechanism where people were expecting more home runs with higher temperatures, but it had not really been formally tested. And so I decided, hey, we can use the methodologies and the tools that we normally use for climate science research and apply them to this really interesting and fun problem.
And didn't the late Tim McCarver, the great all-star catcher, mention some of this when he was doing broadcasting games, saying, you know, I think that the air being thinner may be causing these balls to fly farther out of the park?
Absolutely. Tim McCarver on a TV broadcast in 2012 brought up this idea, and he was roundly mocked for it, actually. But I think we've vindicated him.
You know, you mentioned that you're a Cubs fan, and it occurs to me that one of the great things about the Cubs, one of the oldest teams in the league, like the Red Sox, is that they play a lot of day games at Wrigley Field. But also this research is showing that most of this increase in home runs, perhaps due to climate change, that 1% you're talking about, occurs more often during day games. Is that right?
Absolutely. Day games are played during the hottest part of the day in the early afternoon, and so they are experiencing these high temperatures the most, whereas night games in the early evening are much milder. Wrigley Field plays most of its games in the day, and so it is going to see a much stronger increase in home runs due to climate change than many other parks.
I mean, I'm only being, again, you know, slightly facetious here, but as a Cubs fan, isn't it more likely that the Cubs need to have better pitchers on their team, given that they're playing more day games, and if their pitching isn't as good, they're going to be more susceptible to giving up home runs?
I would hope that the effect would go both ways. I would hope that the Cubs would also hit more home runs, but I can never trust them. They failed me too many times.
Don't forget 2016, okay? You've got that in your back pocket always. You know, obviously climate change is a really serious thing, and we're talking about baseball in relation to it. Obviously not the biggest concern for the planet, but I'm wondering what kind of reaction has come about from this study since it's been published. What are you hearing from people, from peers, and just from regular folks who take a look at this? What's their reaction to it?
I think folks have realized something that we wanted to highlight going into doing this study, which is just that this is an illustration of the ways that climate change has perniciously altered many of the aspects of our lives in really subtle ways and really drives home the influence of climate change for people and brings it to something that they really care about. And so while it's not the most catastrophic or important impact, it is one that people can feel when they're thinking about baseball in their day-to-day lives. And so it really highlights the reality of climate change for people.
That was Chris Callahan speaking with Mitch Wertlieb.
Thanks for listening to The Frequency today. We had additional reporting from Peter Hirschfeld, Adia Gostin, and Lexi Krupp.
Our executive producer is Kevin Trevelin, and our music is by Blue Dot Sessions. I'm Anna Van Dyne.
And I'm Josh Crane. Talk to you on Monday.